Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
My neighbor, the monster.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Have you ever met someone, even just a little kid, and you knew, you just knew, they would grow up to be a monster? In our neighborhood, that was TJ and Eric. They were the bad kids, pushing kids off their bikes, assaulting girls, stealing stuff. It was bad enough that even at a young age, my dad looked at them and speculated, those boys will spend the majority of their adult lives in prison. Not that it was entirely their fault. When they were both very young, they were living with their mom and their stepdad. Stepdad was an abusive drunk, also a cop ACAB. One day, while stepdad was cleaning his gun and decided to shoot at a stray dog, instead, he then shot his wife in the head in front of the boys. So yes, this inevitably messed them up. But don't feel too bad. One of them testified for the defense. Side note, stepdad only served 4 years for manslaughter ACAB. As they got older, the crimes escalated. What started as them pushing kids off their bikes escalated to theft, burglary, breaking car windows, stealing cars, etc. They were in and out of juvie and jail. One day, I was standing in my bedroom when I heard a big bang. I looked out my bedroom window and saw a car rapidly reversing out of our cul-de-sac. After the cops came, we discovered that someone had shot a gun on our street. The bullet had shattered the windshield of a minivan in our cul-de-sac. The bullet was embedded in the car seat of a little girl, a playmate of my little sister. She was not in the car seat at the time, but it was jarring for everyone in the neighborhood. And then, along came Sarah Starling. She was 15, while her boyfriend Jason was 19. Jason and TJ were good friends. Sarah was only 15, but she liked to party, and her mother not only encouraged it, but supplied the booze and weed to her and her friends, including TJ, including Jason. Jason actually moved into her mother's house, much to the chagrin of Sarah's stepfather, Jerry Rose. Teresa Rose, Sarah's mother, was the puppet master in the events that followed. Teresa approached TJ and Jason. She had a proposition. She was sick of Jerry and of his complaints. She had her eyes set on his life insurance. TJ and Jason agreed to murder her husband. In return, she would give them $10,000, Jerry's car, and a trip to Hawaii. The first attempt to kill Jerry Rose was in his garage. When he came home from work, he always entered the home through the garage. They were lying in wait for him. On this particular day, Jerry had eaten something that didn't agree with him. He parked in the driveway and ran in through the front door to get to the nearest bathroom for relief. TJ and Jason, upon realizing their mistake, freaked out and immediately left. Aborted the mission. There was a third guy who was involved, and he was so spooked, he dropped out of the whole mission. A few weeks later, Jason, TJ, and Sarah were all at a friend's house. They all left together, as per the friend's testimony. The story gets hazy after this. The facts are this. They parked at Kingsgate Park, in a neighborhood not far from ours. Sarah Starling was put into a chokehold. Sarah Starling was dragged from the vehicle. Sarah Starling was stabbed through the throat with enough force that the tip of the knife broke off. She was nearly decapitated. Less than half a mile from our house. She was found the next morning by someone walking their dog. Police closed off the area with tape, and soon enough. Teresa Rose and her fateful husband, Jerry, arrived at the scene, begging for news. TJ arrived and started asking officers what was going on. It wasn't too long before police arrested both Jason and TJ. When they were questioned, both threw the other under the bus. One thing seemed clear from both perspectives. TJ put her in a chokehold until she lost consciousness, and then he dragged her into the woods. Whether or not he stabbed her, if it was him or Jason, only three people know the truth, and one of them is dead. We were all interviewed by police. We discovered that our other neighbor had seen Sarah Starling coming in and out of TJ's house. TJ and Jason both claimed that Sarah was mad at them for their failed attempt to murder her stepfather. She berated them, supposedly, and that was the trigger. I call bullshit, personally. They wanted to experience the thrill of murder. Maybe they wanted practice before murdering Jerry Rose. No one really knows. We can all speculate. But my dad knew from the beginning. Those kids are bad news. Ida, a girl my sister went to school with, ended up being charged as an accomplice, as she drove a getaway car for Jason when the shit hit the fan. It's around 2 a.m. My girlfriend and I are woken by an extremely loud banging on the entrance door to the building we live on, the third floor, as well as our doorbell being rung continuously. Obviously, the banging scared the living hell out of us. After a few breaths, I open the window and pop my head out to see a woman and a man who is now on the phone by the front door. I yell out, "Hello," and the girl says she lives here. The week before, we had just seen a new girl leaving our apartment building as we were entering. And as it was night, therefore dark, and I am on the third floor, and I had just woken up, I thought it was her. We figured I should go down and open for her and her boyfriend, since my girlfriend was scared as hell, and it's better to be a man in those cases, perhaps. Anyways, my girlfriend was standing at our door listening in case something was to happen. I open the door and let them into the tiny hallway leading straight to the tiny spiraling staircase. I move as to let them pass me to make sure they actually live here, but they don't budge. They stink of alcohol, and the guy looks almost homeless based on his shabbiness as well, as a big plastic bag hanging from his shoulder. He said he had just moved into the first floor, and that he for some reason could not open the front door. Also asking if I was Alex, which I was not. The girl, who looked pretty normal, asked me what floor I was staying on. He was now fumbling with his keys, trying them from the inside of the door. I ask them if they can enter their apartment. They don't answer. Suddenly, the guy realizes that he is at the wrong address, asking if he is at X address. The girl says she is just with him and did not know, almost laughing about it. The guy becomes very apologetic and kind, and off they go. First thing I thought was that they were drunk, and the guy was bringing the girl home and had just messed up the address since he had just moved into a new place. Even more so because the address he gave me had a similar door to ours thanks Google Maps and was right down the road across the street. But the building was not the same at all, so far from it. And they did not seem that drunk. What questions that theory is that the girl said she lived here, and then later on said she was just with him. The extremely loud banging still surprised none of my neighbors came out to see what was going on. Them not wanting to go in front of me, not answering me when asked if they can enter their apartment, and then realizing it's the wrong building the second I question them, and when it becomes obvious I am not leaving them alone. Him looking like he did with his big bag. Them not looking that drunk. Looking back at it, I should have just talked to them from the window or called the police. But it was pretty far down, and I am not fluent in the language here, so maybe they wouldn't have understood me when it's unclear due to the height difference. And my girlfriend was too scared to talk anyhow. And we were pretty sure it was our new girl neighbor, which was why I went to open in the first place. Would never have done it otherwise. My horrible neighbors. A couple of years ago, I had these absolutely horrible and disgusting neighbors. Now I live in a fairly good neighborhood. Of course, there is the occasional break-in, but it was a pretty safe place. These neighbors, the moment they moved in, seemed weird. I was only 8 at this time, but I have always seemed old for my age, so I could easily spot things that seemed off. There was a very calm and collected boy around 12 called Billy, not the real name that seemed all right, but that was it. Me and few friends from my cul-de-sac decided to go talk to him, and this is where it got strange. Billy said that they had weed growing all over the house before it was legal in California, and that they had had multiple run-ins with the cops in which he was forced to hide under his bed. At this point, me and my friends' faces turned pale and had a worried and terrified look. After that, everybody stayed away from all of them, except for my girlfriend's older brother, which was around the same age as Billy. After they were there for a good month or two, they finally showed their true colors that Billy had talked about. These people went from okay neighbors to the neighbors from hell. They started to piss on the side of their house, constantly smoked pot, and had the cops over there every other night. But then there was the night that makes me need to write this story. They terrified me on this night. I went to bed at my normal time back then, 8:30 p.m. I have always been paranoid, as I do have a slight case of paranoid schizophrenia, so when I saw a flashlight shine through my upstairs window, my little heart almost exploded. I have never ran to my parents' bedroom quicker in my life. When I returned to my room with my parents, the light was gone. My mom and dad peered out my window, and then their faces turned as white as Casper the Friendly Ghost. My mom dashed out of the room and called the cops. I then asked my dad what he saw, knowing I would get an answer since he always told me, "I will never lie to you." He then put a finger up to his lips and legitimately crawled across the floor. He then whispered, "He has a gun." I instantly passed out right then and there. When I woke up, I saw my parents, a paramedic, and a cop all trying to comfort me. It turned out that the neighbors had a gun aimed at my window and were ready to shoot if anything moved my blinds on my window. Luckily, they were all faded, drunk, and high, so they did not see my parents peek at them. They all got arrested and kicked out of the house since they were renters. I am just so happy that nobody got hurt. The last day I was in my old apartment, I was there alone. My fiancé had went ahead to the new house, and I just got home from dropping off my friend that helped me finish packing. It was roughly 1 a.m, so it was pitch black out besides for the one street lamp. As I got out the car, I heard an older man yell, "Hey," really loudly. With me being the only person out this late, I knew they were talking to me. I wasn't originally frightened as I thought it was one of the neighbors I knew. However, as he approached, I realized two things. First, he was very intoxicated. Second, I had no idea who this man was. He introduced himself as one of our neighbors who had been there for as long as we had. And in his defense, I didn't know all our neighbors. But this random large 30-40-year-old man approaching 19-year-old me at 1 a.m. immediately set me on guard. He mentioned weird little facts, like that my fiancé got his car repossessed once. It didn't make me trust him anymore knowing that this man I never met knew things about me and my fiancé. It then got weirder as he asked me to climb into his apartment window as he had locked himself out. He wanted me to climb through and unlock the door for him. That gave me multiple red flags really damn quickly. First off, our apartments only had deadbolt locks on the doors, meaning to lock yourself, you couldn't have just accidentally shut the door. You had to close the door, lock it with a key, and then lose the key. So here's this drunk man I never met before, who apparently knows things about me and my fiancé, never introduced himself until the first night I'm home alone, and now wants me to climb into his apartment window. I tried to politely refuse and get to my own apartment, but he kept insisting, even trying to bribe me. I just backed away while calmly continuing to say no. After the third or so rejection, he turned away from me, growling out some words I couldn't hear as he stomped around on the grass. I didn't wait for another opportunity and booked it into my apartment, locking myself inside. For the next hour, I kept looking out my window to see if he was still out there. But after I got inside, he seemed to disappear. I didn't see him again that night, nor was he or what he said was his van present in the morning. I may be overreacting, but his perfect lineup for when I was alone plus the super bizarre request of climbing into his apartment made this a terrifying experience. That was the first and hopefully last time I ever meet that man. My parents still live in the same suburban house my brother and I grew up in, and I still live nearby and spend a lot of time visiting there. It's a nice middle-class neighborhood in the Northeast where neighbors have always acquainted themselves with one another. The exception to this rule is the creepy family who has occupied the same nondescript house on the block for more than 40 years. Growing up, nobody else in the neighborhood had ever interacted with the creepy family. They did not respond to the typical neighborly greetings, so most found them slightly unnerving. For example, if you happened to pass by their house while one family member was briefly outside, they would completely ignore any friendly hellos or attempts to communicate. Also, the structure and design of the house itself is odd and gives off an unwelcoming vibe. The entire front part of the house facing the street is a raised driveway leading to garage doors. The family has always had three generic nondescript vehicles, including a panel van, a Crown Vic type, and a late 90s sedan. I have seen three members of the family with my own eyes. The mother would often be laboriously manually mowing the lawn with their unique hand-powered mower as I was walking home from school in the afternoon. Despite being a smiling, pigtailed little girl, the woman always completely shot me down and ignored me as I waved and said, "Hi." As a child, it hurt my feelings and I thought I did something wrong for her to dislike me. The son wears a postal service uniform and has been seen by many neighbors throughout the years, sleeping overnight in the driver's seat of the panel van, where he also curiously places a large rock behind a rear tire. Nobody in the neighborhood has ever seen signs of visitors to the home or guest cars parked nearby. For almost 30 years, another family we were friends with, the Peas, lived directly next door to the creepy family with their two outgoing rambunctious sons. The Peas, too, were perplexed by the creepy family, and once half-jokingly told my parents, "If we ever go missing, you can find us buried in the creepy family's backyard." One Halloween when I was about 9, I was walking alone to meet my friends for trick or treating and decided to hit up the neighbors' homes I passed to get the candy I felt I was entitled to. I walked along the side of the creepy house to find what would be a front door. As I knocked, I could see an older man, presumably the father, sitting close by at a table in the kitchen. But he didn't move or even look up in my direction, even as I continued to knock. Eventually, I gave up and moved on but never forgot the odd interaction. Since moving into my own place, I've seen the postal employee's son, who I assume is now around 50, shoveling snow several times over the past few years. Oddly, he always waits till the snow has somewhat frozen before he goes out shoveling, and then does so after dark, wearing a white undershirt and no coat. I know that being odd and wanting to keep to yourself are not crimes. I also sincerely respect the creepy family's right to privacy, which is why I've only discussed them amongst family and a handful of times with neighbors discreetly. Other than my trick or treating attempt, I'm not aware of anyone doing anything to disrespect their privacy or step on their property. Last week, I went home for a visit. It was about 8:45 p.m. and just about being fully dark outside. As I pulled around the corner, I was surprised to see a taxi pulled up in front of the creepy family home. There was a car coming from the other direction, so I stopped and waited behind the taxi. I was intrigued to see a new car pull in the creepy family driveway for the first time in 40 years. I was even more surprised when I saw a black female in her 20s get out of the taxi and walk towards the creepy house carrying several shopping bags. My first suspicions were that since the creepy family is white, it's less likely she is a family member. My suspicions were further confirmed as I saw her smile and wave goodbye to the taxi driver, which is a behavior uncharacteristic of the creepy family. I also wondered, realistically, would a family that seemingly hasn't had visitors in decades first invite a young girl late on a weeknight? As my dad said, it's unlikely she's a domestic employee considering it was so late at night. She could be a live-in domestic worker, which seems unlikely due to the aversion to strangers, but nonetheless would be an uncomfortable family dynamic for a stranger to be subjected to. I suppose the girl could be a romantic interest of the son, but that seems disconcerting seeing as he's at least 50 and sleeps in a panel van in his parents' driveway. Whatever the case, I was and still am concerned for the young girl I encountered. I'm also intrigued with the first clue about the mystery neighbors in decades. The smile on the young girl's face as she waved away the cab reassured me that she wasn't in duress or immediate danger, but it cannot be an ideal situation being inside that home. Perhaps my concerns are exaggerated, but either way my dad, brother, and I are going to keep our eyes open to look out for her just in case. My creepy old neighbor. My boyfriend and I have been together just a little over 2 years now. I moved in basically right when we got together. It was all great at first. I met all of his neighbors, and because of me, he even started talking to some that he didn't before we got together. The first summer we were together, we decided to get a pool and put it in our backyard. We also started having bonfires since the weather was nice, and we have a decent-sized yard. We had the pool up for about a month at this point, and we were out having a bonfire with some friends one night, having a couple drinks. Suddenly, the person who lives behind us across the alley walks up and starts talking to us. Note, we have never talked to this neighbor before. It was all normal small talk, getting to know each other's names, talking about how long we've lived there, how he'd seen us out with our dog, and how well behaved he is. Then it turned into talking about our pool. I just wish I could take a dip sometimes, you know. It's just so hot, and it just looks so fun. I see you both out in it all the time. The strange neighbor says, it's probably a good time to mention, he's probably in his 50s, and my boyfriend and I are in our early 20s. My boyfriend, being the easygoing guy he is, didn't even notice that the comment was a little weird and just says, it's no problem, man. Anytime you want, just ask. I begin to look at my phone and say that it's getting late and we should all head in for the night. We say our goodbyes and figured it would all be over and ended the night normally. But that wasn't the end. My boyfriend and I are on pretty close work schedule, him working Monday, Friday, 7-5, and my working just about any day, 8-5. One day, I got off work a little early and came home. The way our driveway is, I can't see completely into our backyard because part of our house blocks it. I get out of my car and go into the house and into the kitchen to grab a drink. Our sink has a little window above it, which looks out over the backyard, with a clear view of the pool. I look out and saw none other than our creepy neighbor, just floating in our pool. I freak out and call my boyfriend, who says just to stay in the house. He'll finish up what he's doing and come home. I do so, and the creepy neighbor is gone by the time my boyfriend gets home. Now, my boyfriend is kind of a hothead when it comes to privacy and me feeling uncomfortable. So even though he was gone, my boyfriend was fuming. He understands that he gave him permission to swim in our pool, but he told him to ask first. So my boyfriend takes the ladder out of our pool and puts it in our mud room and locks the door so no one can get it. Later on in the night, luckily my boyfriend was calmed down and saw a creepy neighbor outside while out with the dog and talked to him about swimming in our pool without asking, and creepy neighbor apologizes, saying it was a mistake and wouldn't happen again. You'd think it's over, but it's not. We started seeing him wandering around in his backyard a lot more often than we had ever seen him do before. And in this time, we had also talked to some other neighbors and learned that he was apparently a child predator. We also learned he worked with our meth head neighbors who do carpentry, who are a whole story alone. To give you some background to the next part of the story, like I mentioned earlier, our kitchen has a window that looks out over the backyard, and right next to our kitchen is our bathroom, which has a huge window that also looks out over our backyard, which happens to be right in front of our mirror and washer and dryer. Also, since my boyfriend had been a bachelor before me, he hadn't taken much time in buying curtains or anything for the house, so the windows were just completely open. Also, so you can maybe get a better picture, I may be in my early 20s. But I look like I could be about 16. We find out through neighbors who are decent friends with the meth heads that apparently creepy neighbor had been talking about watching me undress, and how he'd even tried peeking in other windows to try and see me in other places in the house. When my boyfriend hears this, he is not happy. He begins to get angrier every second, and you can see his face becoming red. He, as calmly as
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Possible. Asks the nice neighbor that had told us. This is they had a spare no trespassing sign he could have since they had just put up some in their yard. They did, along with a stake to put it in the ground with. He charges to the house and grabs a hammer, and then to the backyard where he begins to scream about creepy neighbor being a pedo, and that he's a peeping Tom. He continues to scream for about 10 more minutes, causing a couple more surrounding neighbors to come out and look. All the while I'm sitting in the house feeling completely violated. He finally came back and completely calm, hung up a blanket on the bathroom window, and calmed me down since I was really freaked out. The next day I looked his name up, and he had went to prison for sexually abusing his niece, and a couple other things. Eventually he moved out, and we never heard from him again. In the end, I know it was kind of stupid of me just to undress and be careless right in front of a huge window where anyone could see me, but I also thought I would be fine since I was in my own home. I'm just happy my boyfriend was there to look out for me, and I'm also thankful for my neighbors who looked out for our house, and they still do even though he's been gone. I had just gotten home, and I saw a dog outside my yard. It wasn't one I had seen before, but I heard some people down the street yelling for a dog. So I walked up and just kind of grabbed his collar after he was comfortable. The people who were yelling down the street were a good distance away, so I had to stand there with this dog for about 3 minutes, which normally wouldn't be a big deal. But there was this random dude who was on a walk at night. Instead of going around me, or at least stopping and saying something, he just stood there. I said hi, and he just kept standing there and didn't say anything back. I couldn't see his face because he was standing in front of a street light, and it was dark outside, but I got a really bad vibe from him, almost like he was staring right at me, but I couldn't actually tell. Right when my neighbors got to me, he finally walked to the other side of the street and just kept walking. I was kind of shaken for a while. I'm 15 years old, and my family and I just moved into a new house. While we were unpacking, I noticed our neighbors watching us from their homes. Following my family's advice to be kind, I waved to greet them. However, I felt nervous when I saw a man in his 30s staring at me, and when he noticed me waving, his grin grew wide, making me uncomfortable. I went inside and checked out our new house. It was huge. When I got to my room, I noticed it had a pretty good view of the front yard. The only thing was people outside could see into my room too. My mom didn't like that, but I kept arguing with her until she let me keep that room. Since it was summer vacation, my mom kept bugging me to come outside and play baseball, as she really wanted me to enjoy the nice weather and make new friends in the neighborhood. So I grabbed my baseball stuff and went outside to play with my brothers and dad. When I glanced at the apartments across the road, I saw the guy from before. He seemed a little creepy, but he was all by himself. I asked my dad if it was okay to invite him to play with us. My dad, who tends to trust people easily, said, "Go ahead." So I crossed the street and walked up to the guy. I asked him what his name was, and he said it was Austin. I asked Austin if he wanted to join our baseball game, and he said, "Sure, as long as you're playing." We had a good time playing together. When the game finished, Austin went back to his place across the street, waving and smiling at me. The next day, my parents and brothers went out to pack more stuff. Since I didn't feel like going, I stayed home alone and decided to unpack some things in my room. At one point, I remembered that I forgot to lock the door like my mom told me. As I was heading to the living room, I heard the front door open and close. I thought it might be my mom or dad, so I was about to call their names, but a weird feeling made me stop. I stayed quiet and sneaked my way to the corner, peeking into the living room. To my surprise, it wasn't mom or dad. It was Austin. He had come inside and locked the door behind him. As soon as I noticed that, I got scared and ran straight into my room. I hid inside my closet, but I could hear his footsteps getting closer. He came into my room, opened the drawers of my dresser, and started searching. Then he left the room and went back down the hallway. I peeked out of the closet and saw all my underwear scattered on the floor. I walked quietly behind him in the hallway, hoping he wouldn't see me. I really wished he would just go to another room. He turned and opened the bathroom door, and I wasn't sure what he was searching for in there. As soon as the hallway was clear, I didn't waste any time. I sprinted as fast as I could through the front door, and then I quickly ran to the neighbor's house nearby. I was so scared when I got there. I started crying and told them everything. They were really nice and called the police right away. They kept me inside until the police arrived. The police looked around, but they couldn't find Austin. Since that day, I haven't seen him. After a night in the pub in my hometown, I was walking home. I live around 30 minutes away and often need to pee halfway home, so we'll cut through a large dark park to relieve myself in a spot between some large fir trees and a wall where it is pretty much pitch black. On this particular evening, I went to this spot and started the stream and could see what I thought was a man squatting between the trees and looking out toward the path, but put it down to shadows and my drunk mind playing tricks on me. After I zipped up, I leaned toward it to get a closer look, and the man got up and power walked away. It was really unnerving to think about what he was doing there at 1 a.m. alone, and that he was probably only 6 feet from me while I was in a vulnerable position. We bought our house without realizing a shared driveway was a thing. However, we decided to go through with it anyway because the driveway was huge, the shared portion tiny, and the rental house next door hadn't been rented out in a long time. About 10 days after we moved in, a lady and her truck driver boyfriend moved in. They got the power company to move the power lines up, and he parked his semi-truck in our shared driveway, right on Main Street in the center of town. 2 weeks after we moved in, I was rear-ended in front of my house while trying to turn into the shared driveway, which badly injured my neck. Consequently, I was unable to work and was home all the time. The rental house emitted a constant burnt trash smell. Our youngest was just a little guy, in second grade, and I had to closely monitor him playing outside because sometimes the fumes got really bad. The neighbor also burned lawn waste at odd hours. She called the police often at 2 a.m. Sometimes it was because she thought we were harboring black men in our basement. We had friends and co-workers who were African American, but we wouldn't have them over late at night because my husband works at 4 a.m. That's not a reason to call the police anyway. Sometimes it was because the other neighbor's dog was crying on a cold winter night. That dog was in a large pen in the backyard full time, and I felt so bad for it. I supported that call. The police had to come and check it out every time, waking us up. She also claimed she was dying from cancer, so she needed our kids to be extra quiet and not bother her with their noise. However, she had the energy to maniacally clean, paint, and steal roofing tiles from our yard to fix her rental. She finally moved out after they cracked our asphalt driveway with the semi-truck and ripped phone lines. The owners of the rental house put it up for sale, but were asking an outrageous amount, way above market value. It never sold. The husband finally died, and the wife didn't want to deal with it. She relisted the house at fair market value, and we bought it immediately. We've owned it for 12 years, debating whether or not we wanted to rent it out. We finally decided not to. My husband and son did some clean out in the attic. My son claims he threw away crack pipes. The power company pulled the gas lines the day before yesterday, so we will begin tear down shortly. Soon I will be well acquainted with my brand new large, heated garage that will be in its place. In my last apartment, there was a glass door to enter the building, and then each apartment had its own solid door with a peephole. I lived on the first floor, which was really half underground, and my windows were all on the same level as the parking lot. I had two weird neighbors there. One was the older guy who lived across the hall, and I think he must have had some mild dementia going on. He would stand just inside the glass door to the building, just looking out. As you might imagine, that made getting into the building a little awkward. He wouldn't really acknowledge my presence until he had to move out of the way to let me in. In warmer weather, he would sit in his car, driver's side door wide open, blaring endless love, for hours. The other was the older lady next door. She was tiny, 5 feet tall if she was lucky, and had those giant glasses that made her eyes look magnified. She also wore a lot of Tweety Bird-themed clothing, so naturally we called her Tweety to each other. She chain-smoked all the time, and her poor husband, who was waif-thin with a track tube, kind of followed her around like a shadow. There was a night I was staying elsewhere, and my roommates started texting me in a flurry around 3 a.m. Apparently, if one smoke detector in the building went off, it would eventually trigger the whole building. So everything is blaring loud beeps, and the fire department shows up and evacuates everyone just to be safe. Tweety strolls out of her apartment, clad in Tweety PJs, lit cigarette hanging from her mouth, asking what all the fuss is about. My roommate was furious. About a year later, Tweety knocked on my door and asked for $5 because Social Security checks were late that month, so I lent it to her, not really expecting anything back. A few weeks later, having forgotten all about it. I was washing the dishes alone at night when I start to hear some weird noises around the door. I ignored it for a while, and then it stopped. And then I started to hear tapping at the window right in front of the sink, and I start to get anxious. Then I hear more knocking on the door and have fully convinced myself that I'm about to be murdered. I look out the peephole, and there she is, just peeking in. She was returning the $5 I lent her. What a relief. And then about a week later, she comes back asking for her $5. As though this is going to be routine. Luckily, my partner, who is much better at saying no than I am, answered the door and shut her down. It was a weird place. Please forgive my English, as I am not a native speaker. I live in a small medieval town in central Italy and have this really weird and actually fun neighbor on the flat right above mine. The building has only 3 apartments. The third belongs to someone working abroad, so it is almost always empty. This guy is a semi-retired engineer, divorced, and with a teenage daughter who used to live mostly with her mother, but also spent summers with her father. Let's start with her. I have a closet on the stairs where I keep tools and other stuff. It is around 1 square meter 9 square feet. It has a door, but it is never locked. One morning, around 7 a.m., I was going to work and had to take something from the closet. I open the door and freeze. There is something big and dark moving on the floor. It was the neighbor's daughter, hiding there to sleep and waiting to get back to her home. She lied to her father, telling him that she would have a sleepover at a friend's house while she went clubbing, which she was not allowed to do. The reason she was not allowed was that her father, a few months ago, in the same club, was hitting on a much younger girl who was from a family of people no one would have messed with. He was told that no one in his family should have shown themselves in that club, or else. He was caught doing several times and had his driving license suspended twice. He made a living from renting a home he owned in Miami, God knows why, and when he bought it, and as a salesman for utility companies. He switched from one to another every few months, took most customers to the new provider, letting them leave a lot of unpaid bills with the previous one. Many of his customers, especially small businesses, did not pay a single bill in years. One night I came back home and found he left his keys in the outside door. While it is a very safe town, I think it is not a good idea to leave them there, so I take them and leave a message on the door telling him to call me at any hour he could have just rang the bell. But he had my phone number anyway. The following morning I open the kitchen door and find some of the flower vases in my backyard smashed, and a chair right below his balcony. I am perplexed because I recognize the chair belongs to a wine bar close to my home. I call the neighbor, and he asks me to come up and open his apartment's door. I find him limping, using a broom as an impromptu crutch. after a brief attempt to play down the situation. He admits that the night before he was back at 3 a.m. and could not call me because he was drunk as hell. So he took a chair the wine bar owner leaves outside at night, climbed over my backyard's wall, and tried to climb to his balcony. He failed twice, and the second one almost broke an ankle, in addition to smashing my flowers. I did not hear anything because my bedroom is on the other side of the building. He was finally able to get into his home, breaking a glass window, but could not open his home door from inside. Trapped in his own house and with a serious injury to his ankle, I brought him to the local hospital, but did not wait until he was dismissed. Being well known among locals, he only managed to date immigrant women from East Europe. He had a couple of rocky relationships with two of them. After breaking up with the second one, he found a strange dolly like a voodoo one under his bed. So he called the local bishop to exorcise the home, though he never went to church and was probably an atheist. I once met him on the stairs and noticed he had a black eye. He confessed he had been hit by his daughter, the one hiding in my closet during a fight. He moved to another city right before the COVID lockdown last year. I believe their new neighbors may tell other amazing stories. I moved into a new house a few years ago. My retired neighbor was helping himself to my backyard swimming pool during the day while I was at work. I didn't realize it until another neighbor let me know. I went over and confronted him, and his excuse was that the previous owner let him use the pool whenever he liked. Trying to be neighborly, I told him he could use the pool as long as he let me know in advance. Big mistake. Soon he moved his own lawn furniture over. He'd show up first thing in the morning on Saturday with a cooler full of beer and hang out all day. He hosted a pool party for his daughter and grandkids. Finally, I had to install new locks on the pool gates and told him that the arrangement wasn't working out for me anymore. I also installed security cameras to keep an eye on his activities. He retaliated by letting the air out of my tires in the middle of the night, putting dog poo in my mailbox, and firing off a bunch of high-powered fireworks at my house, which left burn marks on the roof, sidewalks, and driveway. Total douchebag. I called the police and they talked to him. He had a stroke last year and was moved to an extended care facility. Karma. So this happened to me over the past weekend. A little backstory is required here for understanding. My girlfriend has lived in this old house, which is divided into a downstairs and upstairs apartment, with hers being downstairs. This past summer, the college kid who lived above her graduated and moved back to the state next to us, and I moved in. We usually will hang downstairs since she has a large, comfortable sectional couch, and I have a not-so-comfortable love seat and less comfortable chair in our respective living rooms, which we were doing this past Sunday. As we are hanging out watching movies on Prime, I headed up to my apartment just for a second to grab a beer and some Irish cream. As I am turning on the light, I noticed a couple of green beams like laser pointers on one of the curtains on one of my living room windows. There is a small house next to ours where two teens live with their parents, so I figured it was the kids messing around. Curious, I open up the curtain and look down. Nobody in their backyard, so I observe the immediate neighborhood. I see in the rear window of an upper floor room in a house around the corner from us with a guy standing in it. He has some object with three small green lights on it and also appears to be scanning the neighborhood. The room he is in is dark, but I can see his shadowy figure. Even stranger, yet I am fairly sure that room is a bathroom because I have seen shirtless males going in and out with towels over their shoulders. The house is like maybe 100 to 150 feet from ours, so I can see it well. The two guys who live there are newer residents as they just moved into the house, not long after I moved into my apartment. Why is this guy standing in his bathroom, and what is he doing? As I stand there trying to figure it out, he looks directly at me, staring at him out my window. All of the sudden, the green's lights beam around quickly, and he darts out of that room. Not the super creepiest thing in the world, but definitely strange for sure. Especially since he saw me watching him then bolted. Any ideas of what the thing with green lights was? Dude came over and knocked on our door one night, saw on the camera. My husband went over the next day, and he said we were effing his girlfriend hella loud in the middle of the night, and could hear it and didn't think it was okay for the kids to hear. Had no idea what he was talking about. Then he claimed I drove to work with her in my car, and she was laughing at him. Still, no idea what he was talking about. Then he got mad we had cameras at our house with bright ass spotlights. He eventually got picked up by the cops for a parole violation. We moved shortly after that. My current neighbor, actually, he's an older gentleman, let's call him P, that lives with his wife. He'll randomly call over and ask about lights coming from down behind the shed I have at my house. Doesn't sound bad or weird until you know that his house is probably a good 1,500 feet from there with quite a bit of dense woods in between. Only way he could see that would be if he's using binoculars. I've been over to his house, and he does keep binoculars on the table next to his recliner. He also has staked out our other neighbor, who we'll call Jay, by parking across from their house and spying on them for hours. Jay has called the cops on P for sitting in his truck with binoculars looking into their house. P has also drunkenly come up to Jay's house and tried to fight. There's a ton of weird stuff he's done, but if I typed it here, it'd be a book. Lived in a small community with about 10 houses where we mostly knew one another. Someone new moved in next door, not a family, mostly male, and we didn't think much of it as they seemed nice enough and didn't cause any trouble. So my grandma was going on a vacation and told the guy next door, "I'm going to be away for a month. Just keep an eye on my family." We were mostly girls at home as my grandpa was out working most of the time. He was nice and he said sure. So months passed by, and suddenly one morning the house was vacated in the middle of the night. A few days later, we read in the paper that that guy was actually arrested by the police because he was big-time gangster, and he has been on the wanted list for quite a while. When Hubs and I were first married, we lived in an apartment complex with a very strange lady as our next-door neighbor. She was in her 40s and looked older, but consistently hung around with a bunch of college-age guys who also lived in the complex, which just gave off a weird vibe. And they were oddly devoted to her. She was constantly carrying around a red Solo cup of something. She said it was just Diet Coke, but she didn't ever put it down, and if she did, she would beg somebody to watch it, and then, when she picked it up again, was very, very nervous that somebody had touched it and or put something in it. She told us one day that she slept during the day, and while she was asleep, the apartment manager would drug her so that her ex could come into her apartment to steal shit. She also accused, although not to their face, I assumed the apartment manager of drugging her to steal the teeth out of her mouth for IDK. Nefarious purposes, I guess. She asked us if she could borrow our cat because her apartment had rats, we didn't allow it. She didn't, as far as we knew, have a job, but every night she'd drive to Dallas about 30-45 minutes away to spend the night partying and drinking while leaving her teenage daughter home alone to angrily blast rap music, which we could hear because we shared a wall. After we moved out, a friend who still lived in the complex told us that our neighbor had gotten busted for trying to run a drug trafficking ring out of her rented garage space.